here. We are going to continue in the book of James. We're pretty excited about it. The book of James is very practical. It tells us how we should live. Remember, the idea behind the book of James is, okay, you say you believe this, show it by what you do. Live it out. It's how to live out your faith. It's not everything about living out your faith, but it's some very key, very important things that actually probably have a lot of application to you and your life today. I'm not meddling, I'm just preaching. That's all I'm doing. This morning, Mark is going to preach, and he'll meddle. Can you meddle a little bit, Mark?
I will meddle.
Mark, thank you. I appreciate that. I like you meddling in people's affairs, getting very personal, picking on us. That's good.
Mostly me?
Well, nothing new then. So we have a special guest star this morning, actually. James, would you come up here? James has memorized that big section of the scripture that Mark is preaching on this morning, and I think this needs to be on. Check 1, 2. Hey, hello.
Who's that?
December's mic. December's.
December's. Is it on now?
Yes.
Thank you, Kenzie. Appreciate that. All right, you want to go?
I'll hold it for you. You just stand right there.
Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about righteous wrath that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not neatly listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and then after looking at himself in the mirror, he goes away and immediately figures what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Anyone who considers himself religious, but does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts pure and faultless is just looking after orphans and widows into distress and to keep one from getting polluted by the world.
Yes!
James, what's moral filth? What's moral filth?
Inside of you.
That's right.
It's like filth inside of you. That's good job. Can't just get rid of it by washing your hands, can you?
Yeah.
That's right. Way to go, James.
Wow, James.
We support scripture and memorizing scripture from a young age here, so you're next. No, not yet. We're going to pray, and then we're going to bring you guys up. Okay. I was going to have you come up and quote some scripture for us.
I was going to read from the book of Doug, actually.
The book itself. All right. Let's start with a word of prayer before this gets any weirder.
Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come together and to worship you as your people. Lord, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for us to be counted as your people, and it's a privilege for us to worship you, the God who loves us and knows us and has given your Son to make us right with yourself. Lord, thank you for that privilege. Help us to live in that reality and live our lives as an offering of love for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beings have discovered that it is, I guess, good to respond to challenges. I know this flies in the face of a certain amount of evolutionary sociology. It's not actually a very helpful response, and yet we all do it. So James is warning, I believe, in this passage against some of the common responses we have to the challenges in our lives. So this first one is we can get angry. We can get overly emotional. We can go on tilt. And then the next time we face a challenge, what's happened? We have a lot of undealt with emotions and we make bad decisions and bad choices. And now, I'm not talking about coming across difficulties in life and having feelings about them. You know, I was talking to Jason just this morning back on the couch before church, and there's a lot of stuff going on in your life over the last few months. Just a lot of stuff. And that wears on a person. And those emotions you have are very real, and they wear you down. And I think most of us can probably talk of times in our lives where we've been worn down by just repeated stuff happening. And, like, how do we deal with this? What do we do? And I'm not saying that you don't deal with those emotions, because they're real, and they happen, and you can't. It turns out that pushing those emotions aside and not dealing with them, but you're still angry, doesn't actually work out, because if you push them way down here, eventually they pop back out, and usually in an unexpected direction. We're actually going to backtrack to the rest of this, so move on to the next slide. So, one of the other ways that we respond to challenges is we just sort of ignore the reality. So a trial comes up in your life or a difficulty, and I'll continue with my gaming metaphor. I'll lose a game sometimes, and I'll just be like, that was just bad luck. Now, games have variance. Life has variance. Sometimes you get lucky, sometimes you don't. But much of the time, if you look at what you did, you lost for a reason. You made a bad decision. You made a bad choice. Now, one of the interesting things about what James is advising us to do, he's saying, look, I mean, there's an honest surface. Do not merely listen to the words so that you deceive yourself. Do what it says. Okay. Well, read your Bible and do what it says. Well, that's definitely good advice. But I think there's something actually a little bit deeper than just that going on here. Because James isn't just saying in a vacuum, do that. He's talking about this in a very particular circumstance. Talking about, well, we talked about the book of James being written by James, who was, you remember who he was?
The brother of Jesus.
Right? He was the brother of Jesus. Two very particular group of people who were the Jewish believers living in first century, scattered throughout the Roman Empire, who were believers in Jesus Christ. So it's written for a very particular group of people. It's saying, you know, don't just listen to the word that you've been given, but do what it says. Because if you're not, let me back up a second. I should actually be looking at my notes. I'd do better at keeping track. You can't just be, there's that particular group of people, the Jewish people in the first century, had already experienced somebody, a group of people telling them, hey, read these rules and do what they say. Remember who those people were if you were a Jew? The Pharisees. The people telling you, hey, here's the laws, follow these laws, and we will criticize the times you don't follow these laws. Now, Jesus didn't have a lot of really nice things to say about the Pharisees. So what this is not is an invitation to Pharisaism. It is not an invitation to wander around and tell people, this is what the Bible says, you should do this. It is not an invitation to get angry about people not following the Bible the way you think it should go. This is the polar opposite, actually, of that. Because if you take this and you don't take the first part about being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, then you're going to be a Pharisee. That's where it goes. So this is written to that group of people and is saying, look, you've had the Pharisaism, which was a sort of false pretense righteousness, right? We're going to follow these rules and it's going to turn out for us. But these people are now accepted. They believe in Jesus. They say, hey, we believe in this atonement thing, this idea that this sacrifice has been made and that we're good with God now. Like, we sang that awesome song about, like, hey, the veil is torn. There's a resurrection coming. Like, there's hope in life. But we're still living in this time and in this place with trials and challenges. So James is giving us advice on how to, in a healthy way, respond to these challenges. We can believe that in the future that everything's going to turn out all right. God has got this. We don't have to earn his favor. But there are healthy and unhealthy ways to respond to the challenges in our lives. And that's what James is going at here. saying, look, you can be good with God and still make a mess of your life if you do these things. If you're angry all the time in response, if you're reading the Bible and not doing what it says, your life isn't going to get any better. It's not a matter of having some sort of advantage or earning God's favor, but your life's going to be bad. Your response to your challenges is going to be a mess. And you lose connection with who you are. Because you've decided that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and that this is who you're going to be. But if you steer clear of the Bible, or worst case scenario, you read it and then walk away and forget what it says, then you're like a person who looks at themselves in the mirror and then wanders away and forget what you look like. You're actually losing connection with who you are. The mirror metaphor is so great because you're looking literally at yourself and then just forgetting who you are. It creates all kinds of problems. And then we have the third fun way. This is actually divided real nicely by space, too. So let's go to the third section here. The one who looks intently into the perfect law, which continues to give freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but does it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious but does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You know, the third way that we deal with challenges a lot of times is after becoming angry and after ignoring who we are, we then go and blow up at somebody who's unrelated to the challenge. The internet is a great forum for this. You know, if you want to have no rein on your tongue, or you want a grand example of people who have no rein on their tongue, go read the comments on anything on the internet. It's horrifying. But if you do that, you're not dealing with reality. I'm sorry, reality does not exist online. That's not your real life. I'm sorry, Grant. I said I'd meddle, so. That's not dealing with the challenges in front of you. You know, when you have decided that the way you're going to respond to the world is by internet trolling or by complaining amongst people who all agree with you constantly until you've worked yourselves into a tizzy, you haven't actually dealt with the challenges in front of you. You know, we live in a time where if you want to be offended, you will find something that can offend you. You know, we haven't quite gotten to the point yet where we're actually televising dinner, but we're close. So you've got in your life available the means to go watch something that will get you upset. And if you're not careful, that'll just happen, because it's everywhere. It's very difficult to participate in life in the modern world and not run across something that's rather offensive. So the trials, it's interesting to me that I don't know that I had ever, when I was in school, we memorized James 1 when I was in fifth grade. I remember everybody in the class had to memorize it, and then we all had to stand in front of the school and recite the whole book as a group. Doing it as a group was smart, so there's somebody just like totally biffed, you could just skip a word and it wasn't horribly embarrassing. Much, much more impressive what James just did,
yes.
Where he didn't have any backup. So who knows? I'm sure somebody would have prompted him.
No.
But no, just let it go. I never considered when I was that age for sure that the challenges I would face could just be pulling my phone out of my pocket. It's not in my pocket, it's right here. Pulling my phone out of my pocket and opening an app and seeing something that's just tilts me off. Not thinking about that's a trial. That's a thing that can happen. And if I'm going to respond in a healthy way, as I believe James is trying to indicate that this is how you should respond, then going back to the first part of this passage, being quick to listen. Okay, what's really being said here and why? Being slow to speak. Maybe I shouldn't just comment the first thing that pops into the top of my head. And slow to become angry and say, you know, they might be wrong. I may come to this decision that that person is wrong. I may not even agree with their forum, their right to speak. I may actually say, no, they don't belong in this forum. They shouldn't be on Facebook. They shouldn't be on Twitter. They shouldn't be whatever, wherever they are. But that does not mean that getting angry and speaking up and being generally a pain is the healthy response. And we live in a world where there are infinite possibilities to engage in the bad responses. And they don't work out. They don't work out any better than playing a game when you're on tilt works out, where you're just like, I'm so angry about the last game that I'm gonna go play this game and lose horribly. You know, this plays out in so many ways. One of the classics is the rebound relationship. I'm so messed up from this previous relationship that I'm gonna go destroy another one. He's not even here to hear it. If you're gonna troll somebody, make sure they're in the room. You know, there's so many opportunities, and it's every day. As I was preparing this, and I was thinking about it, thinking about how much this comes up, I was astonished. I was like, even for me, and I studiously avoid certain forums, certain places where I know there's going to be things that make me angry come up. I was reading a blog that my brother wrote a while back, who not even that long ago, but about the political process and how just mind-boggling it is that we're even talking about a presidential election that's, you know, whatever, a year and a half away. We shouldn't even be hearing about it yet. And why is it all over the place? Because it gets people riled up. It gives us this emotional response that we're just like, ah! Gives us a chance to freak out on our mom. That's happened at dinner. You know, and there's something very attractive about that. I don't think we don't want it to be. I mean, I'm not going to go into family dinner being like, boy, I hope I get mad. But it turns out there's something addictive about it. Something that, like, once you're in these places where you can get into this emotional discussion and this sort of, like, sometimes it's good to a point, but there's something that just, like, triggers something in us as people that we want to get into that. Maybe it's more to those of us who may have the competitive gene, because we can win and spill coffee. I'm going to set that down while I'm talking. It's awesome. Because we can win. And it feels good to win. And there's opportunities abound at that. And, I mean, this is pretty opportune, because, I mean, next week is Thanksgiving. So, if you're going to go to a family dinner, there's a good chance you're going to have a chance to get ticked. So, it might not be the worst forum to try and play this out. What does it look like to sit down with a bunch of people who can offend you and actually practice what James says? Listen. Don't speak, or speak slowly and considerately. Control your anger, because things can be upsetting. People can be wrong. But getting upset about it isn't going to help anything. And look in the mirror and remember who you are. One thing that can be helpful in environments where things get very upsetting is, you know, it's fun to listen to Stacy talk about her interactions with Kenza sometimes, when she talks about giving herself a timeout instead of Kenza. You know, sometimes it can be useful to take a minute, walk away, go look in the mirror, remember who you are, remember what this thing that you believe is. Because James is reminding his audience, hey, remember, when you read the Word of God, when you look at the Word that has been planted in your hearts, and remember, they didn't have the New Testament yet. This is the Old Testament. You know, remember all of these things, and remember who you are. You're God's people. You're a purchased people. God, Christ died for you and for the other people who are sitting around the table. And real quick, all of the offensive things, all of the things that make you angry, they're going to lose an awful lot of importance. Real fast. And maybe sometimes the thing to do is to go look in that mirror and say, who am I looking at? Am I this person that I believe myself to be, or am I being the Pharisee? Am I being the legalist? Or am I angry right now? Am I the angry person James says that I should not be? Who am I being? And then, if you're saying things that seem out of character even to you, you might say, am I upset about something else? Am I not keeping a rein on my tongue? Am I not speaking to the right issue? There's something else going on here. I have noticed that if you're foolish and you look at websites and read the comments frequently, which I may have done on occasion, you'll find repeated names. Accounts that gives the tag the account and these people commenting, you'll find that some people are mad about everything. There are people who are just upset about everything. You've probably met these people in your workplaces and in your lives, people who are just mad all the time. And you've got to start wondering, what are they really mad about? Because they can't really be mad about everything. There's got to be something else going on here. They're deceiving themselves. They're not dealing with the actual trial in front of them. They're just upset and angry and going off. And sometimes it's worth looking in the mirror to see if that's you. You rebalance, come back to it, say, who am I? Who am I in Christ? Where do I belong? How should I be? Then we have the, go back to the last slide here.
Other one?
I think we have, there
not
we go.
Way.
Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, this is an interesting challenge. James is saying this is the real deal. You're caring for the orphans and the widows. It's the people in society at that time for sure had very little power. Not much you could do. We live in a slightly different world now where someone being widowed doesn't mean that they're in dire straits necessarily. They're probably emotionally crushed, but they're, you know, you can make a life for yourself. It was much more difficult at that time. An orphan without a family, as short of the mark as our systems for dealing with children these days who don't have parents are, they're a lot better than they were then. And so what James is saying is, look, God accepts pure and faultless religion is taking care of people who are in need, in desperate need. That's because if you're doing that, that kind of giving doesn't come out of anger. It doesn't come out of a person who doesn't know who they are. It requires a healthy being to do that, to really care for them. You can have people who are unhealthy who try. Generally, it doesn't turn out well. but this is what it takes. Keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, part of being polluted by the world is that addictive anger and that forgetting who you are. That's the world polluting you. All of those things are separate you from the pure and genuine religion. It becomes false. And you don't do this. You don't do this in any of those categories of ways you shouldn't respond. You don't do this as an angry person. Or, remember what James says about that, it's worthless. And you don't do it as a fake person. Or it's worthless. You don't do it as a Pharisee. Or it's worthless. All these, because all of these good deeds, this pure and genuine religion is not to get on God's good side. It is not to save yourself. It is not so that God is not upset with you. It's so that you are living a better life. You don't do this for God. I mean, God doesn't need this from you. God does not require this for himself. He's saying do this because it's better for you. And you don't go around enforcing it on other people because you don't go around saying like our daughter in the sketch who just gets so upset because society isn't fair. You don't do that because that's not what it's about. Society's never going to be fair. I'm sorry. And thank goodness. Fair society sounds terrible. Think about it for a minute. You don't do it for that. You do it because it's the way you were made. It's what you were made for. This is what you were designed for. And it can be very easy to slip past that line from where, especially in passages like this, this is one of the touchy things about these, particularly some of these epistles that talk about doing what the word says, is that it can be very easy to slip past the line from saying, I'm doing this because this is what the Bible says to do, and I know that I'm supposed to do it, it's good for me, God is directing me to do this, to I need to control what you do because I know what's best for you. That is no one's right but God's. And it's a very difficult line to tread. Because it very quickly you can find yourself getting very upset. Why won't you just do what's good for you? And then you're angry and you're not listening. And you're not being who you are. And you're enforcing rules upon other people you have no right to enforce. And you're not caring for the people who are in need. Instead, you're watching out for who's sinning more than me. So, today I'll leave you with, I was going to talk about Thanksgiving dinner, but I already did. So, you know, I'll leave you with this. You're going through the holiday season. There's going to be a lot of chances to be upset, whether it's over the color of a Starbucks cup, or what your weird uncle says at dinner, or what you read on the internet. And I would challenge you to consider your responses. Are you just getting upset? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you being who you believe yourself to be? Who you want to be? Are you looking at God's word and saying, I'm going to be consistent with that person? Who God says I am? Are you going to care for the people who are in need? Are you going to blow up at people who are unrelated to your problems? Or are you going to be a follower of Christ the way James is advising? And then look back and say, did I have a better or worse holiday season for how I reacted? Might be surprised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us all to be fully aware of ourselves throughout the coming weeks. Help us to react with your spirit, not our own, and to not be polluted by the world. In Jesus' name, amen.